Can I stand here? Could be there. Okay. I hope people are expectant what Ellie is going to say. Praise the Lord. You can say amen.
Amen.
When I say praise the Lord, you say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. That is to kickstart. Let me appreciate the leadership of the church, the pastor, the elders, and the whole congregation of the church. What a privilege to be with you, people who are loving, who are caring, who are welcoming. I appreciate and deeply from my heart say to all of you, thank you very much. Keep up the spirit of being the light for others. As I'm here, I bring greetings from my family, my wife Rose, my firstborn Emmanuel, second one is Lucas, the third one is Esther, then our fourthborn Enoch. They all greet you in Jesus' name. And I also bring greetings from the people of Aringa with whom your church is partnering through Here's Life. As I'm here, Benon, that you're supporting in Liga's footfalls, is with the team up in Aringa, training children in computer discipleship. That is all ongoing. That's wonderful. It is your support that is making them come up to the Muslim community and teach the Muslim community with the few Christians in that particular area of Aringa. You are doing a wonderful ministry there. Thank you so much for supporting them.
Amen.
How many hours should I be taking?
Well, thank you very much.
It was inspirational. Thank you.
So,
as long as the Lord leads you.
As long as the Lord leads me. Okay. I'll not take a lot of time, and I'll not take very little time. So be prepared for whatever length of time it will be. Last night, I reminded my family with a song which is very common. I am building a people of power, and I'm making a people of praise that will move through this land by my spirit and will glorify my precious name. Build your church, Lord. Make us strong, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. Make us one, Lord, in your body and in the kingdom of your Son. So I shared that with them. I said, I woke up in the middle of the night and said, okay, this song came to mind. Let me remind you, my family members, because we have a family WhatsApp group. So we keep greeting each other. Those who are not within, we share everything over WhatsApp. That is the goodness of technology. Do you know this song? I thought we could sing it. Wow. It is from building a people of power, and I'm making a people of praise that will move through this land by my spirit and will glorify my precious name. Build your church, Lord. Make us strong, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. Make us one, Lord, in your body, in the kingdom of your Son. So the small refreshment I am bringing forth to us is about God's mission, and I put a small heading said, collaboration in God's mission needs you. To collaborate, to succeed in God's mission needs you. Last September 2024, I was in South Korea in Seoul for a conference which is organized by Lausanne, and it is a world over movement. There were people from America and all over the world. There were over 5,000 people in the conference for 1 week. And the theme of this conference was, together, let the church declare and demonstrate the gospel. Together, let the church declare and demonstrate. You are people whose background is English. When we talk of declare, you know what is to declare. It means say it out. Demonstrate means leave it out practically. Let people see. Let it come from your mouth and let people see in your action. And the text I like so much to talk about God's vision is Isaiah 61, from verse 1. And I'll progressively add other scriptures to strengthen what I say. Amen? The key text, as I said, is Isaiah 61. Why is it important for the church to come together to declare and to demonstrate the gospel? Because the church needs to refocus preaching the gospel to avoid preaching of different gospels. Today in Uganda, church has become business. You start a church to take offering to meet the needs of your family, but you trade the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know what it is here in America. So, if the church comes together, there can be what we call checks and balances. It says, together, let the church declare and demonstrate the gospel. Why? Because we need to refocus preaching of the gospel to avoid preaching different gospels. The church, according to Jesus Christ, is supposed to be one. And the gospel is one. Paul reminded the people, I think in Corinth, and said, if it is not about Christ came and died for the sins of the world, he rose again and ascended into heaven, and he's going to come again to judge the living and the dead, if it is outside this, it is not the gospel. So, there is witchcraft in the church. In Africa, we see it. Teachings from demons, false miracles, immorality, false prophets, and false apostles. We have so many of these in the church in Africa. When you look at leaders with different intentions, they cannot collaborate because they have these, I am from this denomination, I am from that one, we are Baptist, we are Anglican, we are Methodist, we are Presbyterian. Sometimes they come together and say, praise the Lord, but they are actually not one in heart. Yet, the gospel is one. Christ came to save the sinner by shedding his blood on the cross so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But it becomes something plus Christ. The doctrine becomes number one, then Christ comes number two. So if that is how the church is going to continue, it means the church will not have the impact that's needed. This has affected the mission of God. The church seems to be on the path of suicide or self-destruction. The enemy is using such to say, hey, look, the church does not have a message. Why do you waste your time there? Because we find leaders who are accused of immorality, and if they are tried in the courts of law, the testimonies prove that this pastor indeed did the act. Or maybe squandered money from the church. So, but if the church comes together to declare and demonstrate, it means those accountabilities can be sorted out. Because they will be collaborating with each other and help each other, leaders mentor themselves, and wrong things can be out of the picture. That was the purpose of that conference. And it reminds me of Psalm 11, verse 2 and 3. In verse 2 it says, look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the saddles at the upright in heart. Have you ever heard such a scripture? That look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the saddles at the upright in heart. The following is a question. Look. The following is a question. Look. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? We are living in a time where truth has become relative, not absolute. And the enemy who is forging all the weapons in the shadows is shooting at the hearts of people, trying to say truth is not truth, it is relative, it can be replaced with something else. Jesus did not die for the sins of the world. But what should the righteous do when the foundations are being destroyed? The righteous are you who believe and say Christ is the Lord. All right? By believing in him, you are washed by his blood and you become clean. You become right with God. So when foundations are being destroyed, what must the righteous do? Do they look on or they must act? When America is changing from righteousness to evil, should the righteous look on and say, this is the situation, let us look on because we don't have the power? Or we must act. To me, when the foundations are being destroyed, the righteous have to act. Amen. If they don't act, it will affect them. Your neighbor who is a bad person, I've experienced that. Your neighbor who is a bad person, whose children are not tamed, becomes a disaster. Their children influence your children. Right? As long as they interact in the community, in African communities, we interact very freely. So if thieves are bred in that family, eventually they will also influence your children to become what? If they interact together. Because they're in the community. So the bad people or things which are going wrong, if the righteous don't act, whether you like it or not, like the frog in the water, when it is cold, it feels, okay, I'm home. As the water continues to heat, he thinks temperature is changing, it is normal, until the heat consumes the frog and it dies in the water. The habitat it thought is safe actually becomes destruction. The church is operating through such a time when the righteous are supposed to be awake, not asleep. And to me, the mission of God, which is the mission of the church, is Isaiah 61. Let somebody read that from verse 1 to 3. Somebody read that for us. Isaiah 61. Yes, 6, 1, 1 to 3.
Mm. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted,
mm-hmm.
to proclaim liberty to the captives,
mm-hmm.
and the opening of the prison to those who are bound,
mm-hmm.
to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and the day of vengeance of our God,
mm-hmm.
to comfort all who mourn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To give them beauty for ashes and oil for joy of mourning.
Mm-hmm.
The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness,
mm.
that they may be called trees of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
The planting of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
that he may be glorified.
Amen. When we look at the mission of God, to me that is the central mission statement of the business the church is in. Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why and for what? Begins to enumerate things that must happen to set God's people free. And in verse 3, he says, once the people are set free, in my version of NIV, it says, they'll become ox of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, to display his glory. So God's mission is centered around two things. One is the kingdom. Declare that my kingdom has arrived into this kingdom of the earth. It must overtake this kingdom of darkness. That's number one. Number two is set my people free. Two things. Where it is revolving around the kingdom and the freedom of God's people, so that they can become people who are righteous, planted by the Lord, rooted in him, to display his glory. In Matthew 5, from 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth, the believer. Jesus was talking to believers, not so. That you are the salt of the earth. Don't lose your saltness. Otherwise, you will cause the goodness of God to be trampled by the wicked people. You are the light set on a point where it can easily light to everybody. That is the righteous, the you and me. And when God is very concerned about his kingdom, he says, establish my kingdom, my rulership on earth. Why? Because the earth must be governed as heaven according to his will. When we pray, we say, may your will be done on earth as it is in. God is saying, bring heaven on earth. We are crying to go to heaven, but he says, first of all, make this earth a heaven. Let my will be done on earth as it is in. Where first? If you are looking forward to die and go to heaven, he says, first of all, make earth my heaven. Make earth us, then you can go. My will must first of all influence where? On earth. These were disciples who asked Jesus, how can we pray? Pray my will on earth. Glorify me, but remember, I have the business to do on earth. And you are the one who is going to do the business. Hallelujah. Very interesting. He wants his kingdom to be established. In Matthew 10, verse 1, he says, go declare to the people that the kingdom has come. Invite them into the kingdom. In Luke 10, 1, he says, expand to other towns and cities because I am coming. Giving the spirit of conquering towns and cities and villages for him. Because Jesus was planning to go to the other towns and he got the 72 together and gave them the authority and said, you go to those towns and villages before I come. Take them over to me. And from verse 17 of Luke 10, you hear the people giving report to Jesus Christ and say, wow, in your name, even demons submit to us. By the authority you have given to us, this world is submitting to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. By the authority you have given to us, the world around us, wherever we step, is surrendering to us. We are taking charge. Because they took charge of the towns and the villages, they gave the accountability to Jesus Christ and said, we saw it work by your authority. The people who were bound were set free. The earth responded to the gospel. One time I got to look at the story of Moses, I got to understand that even the earth has ear. The earth can hear. Because when those guys came with the commotion and insulted Moses, and Moses told them, he told God, these people must not die normal death. And told the earth to open its mouth. That's what the Bible says. Eh? The earth, at the instruction of Moses, opened its mouth and swallowed these people with their families. Does it have ear? Where is the ear? But how did it listen to open its mouth to swallow the people? The earth responds to God's word as well as God's people responding to his word. Jesus is interested in towns and cities because these are centers of influence for good or bad. He wants us to take these cities for him. But instead, the rioters, like in Los Angeles, are taking the cities. Yeah? And some people who are not godly are taking the cities. But he instructed the 72, go to the towns and villages, let them become my villages, let them become my cities. Interestingly, set my people free so that they can display the glory of God. In Isaiah 61, verse 3, when you look at those people, when you look at the statement, declare to my people the good news, bind up the brokenhearted. My people are brokenhearted. Bind them up. Proclaim freedom for captives. Release from darkness the prisoners. declare it is my time of favor upon my people. Let them take up this opportunity. My anger is going to come upon all who reject this. Comfort those who mourn. Provide for those who grieve in Zion and in my cities. Bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. Once the people are set free from those bondages, they become new. They respond to God. They are called ox of righteousness. Righteousness flourishes among the people who are set free. Where evil is reigning, it means there is bondage. That community cannot portray righteousness of God. But once the good news goes into their lives, the kingdom takes over, Isaiah says, they will become a planting of the Lord to display his glory. It means there will be righteous people and it will be seen in their lives. When you continue the verses, the ancient ruins in their lives will be rebuilt. Long ago devastated lives will be restored. Cities that have been devastated for generations will be rebuilt. People set free from bondages by the good news experience explosion of growth in all areas of life, both spiritual and physical. When somebody is set free from the bondage of sin and all the other things, the person becomes righteous, then God's blessings flourish, both spiritual and physical, in the lives of such people. What are the indicators? When people are set free, numbers of believers increase. Increase of knowledge of God and fear of God. Righteousness, justice, law-abiding citizens. Believers with burden for souls that are in bondage. You see those as when people are saying, let's go out. Let's reach out. There are people who are there. We need to go to them. You know that burden is coming from the experience of the presence of God in the life of the person. Where he sees there is darkness, I should go with light into the darkness. So that once light comes into the darkness, it moves away darkness. Once salt is there, we know in Africa we preserve meat using salt because we don't have these advanced ways of preserving meat. So if you want the meat to stay for long, what do? You put salt on the meat, flies will not sit there to lay their eggs to cause maggots. No. If you are equated to that level that you are a preservative, you have to preserve the rotting world. I have to. It is a mandate that you are the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. Then you are the light of the earth. That is you. That is me. But do I live my life like that? I don't know. You know it better. Not so. But we are refreshing our minds that this is a mandate given by God to who? You and me. That is the expectation of God from you and me. That you are the salt of the earth. Preserve it. Let it not get rotten. You are the light of the earth. Let darkness be moved away by this light. That is a higher standard for you and me. If the world is getting rotten, God says, you are my agent, you are responsible. If there's darkness, God is saying in his word here, you are responsible because you are not there by mistake. You are by my appointment for a purpose. I don't know whether we think it that way when we read the scripture and reflect on it, whether you consider it your responsibility or your mandate, or it is a by the way, as it is written, we were able to reflect on it, you don't take responsibility. I don't know. But he says that is an absolute responsibility over your shoulder, the righteous one who knows my son as Lord and Savior. And God has given this task to the church to declare and demonstrate. To say it out to those who have not heard. Or maybe to testify to people how good God is. Then to live it out in their lives. That's why my message says together. We were instructed, we were guided that let the church come together to declare and demonstrate the gospel. So it means here together we are a church as a body in North Umpqua Bible Fellowship. Here we are a church. And there are also other churches. Okay? So we make the body of Christ. Here there's body of Christ. I saw other churches of Baptists. I saw Church of Christ. Those are all other churches. But how do we blend with them to take this area for Christ? Others who are good in prayers declare God's presence through prayers. Others good in making friendship take that responsibility of connecting for Christ. How do we use our God-given abilities to declare and demonstrate so that this region can be taken over for Christ? Do we think of taking this? What is the name of this place?
Glide.
Are we declaring God's overall rulership in Glide? That the politicians at local levels would be people who are believers in Christ. That they will cause righteousness to reign in governance. Or we are to ourselves, and that benefits us. As long as my freedom is there, that is enough. Because when God is saying, I'm interested, Jesus is saying, I'm interested in cities, he's saying, the governance of these cities must be of righteousness that brings heaven on earth. So do the leaders reflect my glory? If they are not reflecting my glory, pray good leaders into the position so that my glory is reflected at all levels of life. And Jesus gave authority to the disciples in Matthew 10 to drive out impure spirits and heal every disease and sickness. That is authority. The authority they had was what Jesus did give them. He called them together and said, I give you the mandate. Go. Not stay, but go. So, the meeting point, one thing I've discovered, the meeting point between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness is in the person. Where there are unrighteous things in a person, including spirits. Once the kingdom of God arrives with the power, there must be manifestation. There must be taking over of a life of a person by the kingdom. And where I come from, you see spiritual forces coming out with a lot of screaming out of people. People confessing witchcraft and all that. Because the kingdom of God is displacing the kingdom of darkness in the life of this person. I can remember Jesus made it very clear that before you get saved, You may be having spirits in you, unclean spirits. But once these spirits, you receive the kingdom, you receive Christ, they get out of you and go into the wilderness. Is that correct? And in the wilderness, they will be wandering and coming to check you again, whether the place can be inhabited, all right? Once they find you have not accommodated Jesus, they will go back and get more friends to come with. How many each will come with? If there were two, one will bring a number. Is it seven? One will bring seven. Then plus that one which was in you, that came to check on you, there will be eight. Then if there were two, 14 plus 2 will be 16. And the Bible says your lifestyle be worse than before you were saved. Because all these spiritual forces want to have influence in the world through human body. If it is a spirit of prostitution, it must have the human body to do. As a spirit, it cannot do prostitution. All right? It must inhabit a human body to do that. If it is of murder, it must be in a human being to motivate that murder to kill. So they say you will be exhibiting different types of behavior because in your life there are so many different spirits that are controlling you. That's what the Bible says, not me. I don't know whether in America you believe in spirits or not, but this is what the Bible says, that they are there. But the same authority which is given to the church requires to be used, because the power is in the name and in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Where is the power? In the name of Jesus and in the blood. And what is the vehicle that moves that power into action? The Holy Spirit. We have seen situations where people declare that you be saved in the name of Jesus Christ, and somebody confesses sins. Amen? That you be healed. I don't heal. But because it is declared in the name that has power, the person is saved. The person is healed. So that power is there for the church, available right now. But it works in practice, not theory. Praise the Lord. It works in what? Practice, not theory. I shared with Joseph last evening when we were, was it Park? Cooper Creek. When we were there, I shared with Joseph. I said, if you have been judged for wrongdoing by the court, if the judge does not give the authority for you to be bound and taken into the cells, you can still be there. But you already judged. But to enforce the sentence, there must be declaration from the judge and say, now the sentence has been passed. Guards or soldiers or police officers bound this person, take the person to the cells. Lock him up or lock her up. So, it means exercising it in practice that makes the law workable. But if it is not exercised, it is there, but it doesn't help. That is similar true with us as believers. I was in one church and I asked the believers, these are East African revivals who are very senior and they can confess any type of sin they have committed when they're in fellowships. How nasty it is. Then I asked them, do you have the Holy Spirit? They told me, no. But they can greet you, praise the Lord. I asked them why. They said, we don't see it in action. I said, okay. So I told them, if you have a lamp, or like these lights are there, the electricity is there, and you don't put the switch on, will it give you light? You have power in the wires, but you're not putting it on. Will it help you to see? I said, you have the Holy Spirit, but you are not giving the Holy Spirit the work he is supposed to do. Once you give that mandate to the Holy Spirit, he will take over. It works in practice, not theory. But mostly the church is bent on theory, not practice. Jesus said, go, declare to the people, and pronounce on them deliverance, that be free from those things that are impacting negatively on you. So, but for the church to be able to do that, the church has to have a very clear vision. What vision do you have for the people around? It is entirely not some small section of people, because your mandate is bigger. Take the community, take the village, take the town, take the cities. For who? For Jesus Christ. So when the church is set in a community like this, the church has that big mandate of turning the community, the village, the town, the city, taking them over and declaring the kingdom of God to replace the kingdom of darkness. We are refreshing our mind. This is not something new. It is what you know. But how do you practice it? How do you make it to function? How do you respect the word of the master who says, go? If you don't go, if you don't do it, do you care? It also requires knowledge. The worst sin in this world, I would say, according to me, is lack of knowledge. Because Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you as my priests. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Who is willing to see his children perish? When God says, because you have rejected the law of your God, I am going to forget your children. How many of us are ready to see their children perish? In Romans 1, 2, chapter 1, 21 to 22, because we don't want knowledge, I said to Joseph, we in Africa are suffering the consequence of rejecting God. Before Christianity came to America and Europe, it was there in Africa. There were Christian empires ruled using Christian principles, Christian kingdoms, and the Nubian kingdom. They were Christian. But what happened? We moved on our own way and do our own things. Then God moved away from us. And we are suffering the consequence of moving away from God. Much as there's slavery, there's suffering, there's all that. But if you go to the roots, it is we moved away from God. Then God left us into our own hands. And then we are facing the disasters of running away from God. So I would imagine that the worst sin would be if you don't have the knowledge, you can perish besides things that you would do to make your life better. So, as I move to conclude, when we are in the business of God, He has made things very clear for us in the scriptures. But where I come from, we want to substitute what we think is okay for us. We substitute the word of God to do what we want. But because it is God's business, it is God's mission, it must be done in his pattern. The pattern is, first of all, when you go to a community, announce my kingdom. Once you announce it, then what follows is set my people free. That is the pattern. But how many of this do we do? Sometimes we stop at the point of announcing, then we are not ready to set God's people free. The pattern is not complete. Said, until you announce and set my people free, they will not respond to give the acts of righteousness in their lives. They'll not be free to be planted by me. They'll not display my goodness because they are bound. That is the pattern. So, we want to be like what John 15, 8 to 9 says. These people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching doctrines, the commandments of men. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you do it your own way, not in my pattern, it is not going to work. So what is the church for? The church is the manufacturing place where different abilities need to be for the kingdom, produced to declare and demonstrate. Like in Psalm, like the bows and arrows for the fight, to repair and to maintain, to fabricate, to model. That is the business of the church. What Pastor Ronnie is doing here is actual to fire or to model, to maintain, to fabricate with the team of elders that these people are going to be the ones who will go out. The business of going out is not the business of Pastor Ronnie, as we all know. But each one of you who is seated here is fired into that action, is prepared into that action. In the marketplace, you will be doing the business. So, it means the church in North Umpqua must produce the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the workers actually who are needed for the business. Model them and send them out. It is a movement, not so. So the worker will be there in the field practicing what he has learned from Pastor Ronnie and making use of it by declaring and demonstrating. That means each one of us is responsible. Last time when I shared with you people here, I said God does not need edited obedience. When he says do this, don't edit it so that it fits you up. No, he says do this, do it his way. Hallelujah. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? God bless you. I'm done.
Will you pray for us?
Yes. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are a great and mighty God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are the same. You don't change. We men can change. Our feelings can change. But your word never changes. We have refreshed our minds about your mission that you are revolving around the kingdom and the freedom of your people so that they can display your glory. We thank you for your word. May it bring nourishment to us that we may take it upon our lives as you have commissioned us to do it, that we'll do your will, not our will. We'll do it your way, not our way. Bless the leadership here. Bless the believers here. Let this place be overturned for you, because that is the business you have entrusted into the faithful, that they should be able to act. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Riley.
Okay.
All right. Declare and demonstrate.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.